Would you open up in your Bibles yet again, and this time to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We've been going through the Psalms, and we have just recently looked at Psalm 22, in which we saw the forsakenness of Jesus Christ, and that He brings us, because of His salvation, into praise and worship of Him. And it's even here that we see David, again, show a psalm of trust, following that psalm of lament and worship. But here we have a psalm of trust. So we'll read these words together. If you're looking for that yet, you can find that on page 563 in the provided Bibles. Let us hear now God's holy word. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far our reading in God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Beloved people of God, this afternoon we come to a very familiar psalm. A psalm that many of you have probably heard sermons preached on, have probably read books. Maybe you have even memorized the psalm and taken time to meditate upon it, because it is a psalm that brings great comfort, and it's filled with such richness. It's a common or a very familiar psalm. And yet I would be remiss if we don't begin at where the psalm starts. Because the psalm speaks from a particular position. A position in which David begins by declaring his confession that God, Yahweh, the great I Am, that Lord is my shepherd. And if we don't first of all start by looking at that position, the rest of the psalm means nothing to us. Because in this psalm, we need to begin with that position of faith and trust, knowing the good shepherd as my shepherd. And so I begin by pointing out that this psalm can only have significance for you if you hear the voice of Jesus calling, calling you to find rest in Him. As He calls and says, "Come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, Isaiah tells us that we are all sheep who have gone astray. Each of us have gone our own way. We have all strayed from those paths of righteousness. And Christ calls us to enter His fold through Him by trusting in Him, believing in Him, and calling Him my great, good, and chief shepherd. And He does this without distinction. He calls all men everywhere to trust in Him. It doesn't matter whether you are a Jew or a Greek, whether you are male or female. He is truly that good shepherd who loves His sheep and has laid down His life for the sheep. He will turn no one away who comes to Him. And so no sin can prevent you from coming to Him. No circumstance in your life can prevent you from becoming a part of His fold. Hear His voice. Turn from your sins and your old nature and trust in Him. This is a continual act. And it's only in realizing that that we can find significance of this psalm. It's only knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's only in knowing that you belong to that good shepherd who has laid down His life to the sheep, for the sheep, that we can see that He provides for us. He protects us. And He is always present with us, leading us into eternity with Him. And those are the points of our song, our sermon this afternoon. He provides, He protects, and He is present. And so the first blessing and comfort the believer receives from knowing Jesus as his shepherd is that the good shepherd provides all that he needs. And so David says, I shall not want. But we might ask ourselves that question, how can someone not be in want when he is hungry or thirsty or in need of a home? How can someone not be in want when he has lost his job or is in ill health? Or as some of the previous psalms have mentioned, where there are enemies attacking, and there is great distress in life. David can say he is not in want because he knows that the Lord is a sufficient Savior. That there is nothing outside of Him that we need. And we need to make sure that this want is understood in only in that which is eternal. That we may want those things, we may even at times need the temporary things, such as food and water. But we need to see that those who are completely satisfied in Christ can be content in all that He has given. Martin Luther describes it this way. The world glories and trusts in honor and power and riches and the favor of men. Our psalm, however, glories in none of these, for they are all uncertain and perishable. The Lord is my shepherd speaks of a sure, certain faith which turns its back on everything temporal and transitory. See, when we know the Lord is our shepherd, we can find complete contentment in Him and say, I shall not want. All I need is found in Christ. And so Paul can even speak about it in this way. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it is because we know the sufficient Savior that we can see that the food of this life will only satisfy our hunger for a moment. And we can even see that food that has been given to us as a blessing from God and His gracious care and give thanks. But we can also see that there are Christians who hunger and can still say, I lack nothing. The water of the well, as Jesus said, can only quench the thirst for a time. And yet those who drink from the well of the living water are completely satisfied. And so David points out these wonderful blessings of knowing the Lord as our shepherd, that he shall not want, that Christ leads and guides and lays them down in green pastures, giving them rest, giving them the water that they need, restoring their soul, giving them what they stand in need of for salvation. A lot of the commentary and articles that I have been reading lately, particularly about the political environment, talk a lot about sheep in a derogatory term. And yet, this is exactly how God describes us. As sheep who need a good shepherd. One who will provide for them all that they stand in need of. And this is exactly how we ought to think of ourselves. As sheep who follow the Lord, who gives us all that we stand in need of. And he gives us out of these gracious and great riches, as you can even see in verse 5. As he says, "You have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Our God is great in his graciousness. He is good, and he has laid down his life for the sheep, giving them all that they need, that rest, that green pastures, the quiet waters, restoring our life and leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Just think about that. God stakes his name upon the sheep. He has paid the price and made us so costly by laying down his life. And he will give us what we stand in need of so that we will be brought into his presence forever. It is good to know ourselves as sheep of the good shepherd who provides for us all that we need. And even though this psalm talks about those peaceful pastures and those quiet waters, it also moves on to that valley of the shadow of death, in which verse 4 emphasizes that protection, which is our second point. The valley of the shadow of death more metaphorically speaks about those life-threatening and fear-generating situations that the flock of God faces. And yet this shadow of death, we need to see, is also the paths of righteousness in which God leads us on. That we are brought through that wilderness, and God will protect and provide for us even in those places that cause us great fear. Psalm 78 beautifully recalls that work of God in shepherding his people. As he speaks about providing for them in that wilderness, as he leads them through that desert place, as he even protects them from their enemies and brings them manna from the heaven and water from the rock. Verse 52 through 54 says this: "He led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear. But the sea engulfed their enemies. He brought them to his holy land, to his hill country, to the hill country which his right hand had gained." See, this good shepherd, who is humble and lowly of heart, is not weak. "His rod and his staff, they comfort me. For he is one who will protect his sheep from those wolves that come to seek to scatter and destroy them." And even though he leads them through this valley of the shadow of death, he brings them through. And notice the transition here as David is speaking. Verses 1 through 3, he speaks about the Lord in a kind of distant way in some ways. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He. And yet as he's going through this valley of the shadow of death, he begins to speak to the shepherd. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. See, God protects his people in these times. He gives them all they stand in need of, and he will not let us fall into our destruction. He will not let one of his sheep be snatched from his hand. And he has the rod to beat away his enemies and protect that sheep, and that staff to lead and guide them on that narrow path of righteousness and keeps them from falling. Beloved people of God, we may experience temptation, persecution, illness, loss of jobs, livelihoods, and even our very own lives. We may go through very disorienting places in our lives where we are prone to fear and anxiety. And yet, the believer has no reason to fear. For our Lord is with us even to the end of the age. He will protect us. And he will not tempt us beyond what we can handle. His grace is sufficient. Even when the messenger of Satan comes and torments us, God's grace will be sufficient. And we need not fear, for he is with us. Which brings us to that third point, God's presence. For we move now from those green pastures, that place of rest and peace through the valley of the shadow of death, to his table in which he provides for us in the midst of these enemies. A banquet in which he is there feeding us and nourishing us and giving us what we stand in need of. See, this is a victory party. Those enemies were often there following the victory of a king who would return and throw a banquet in the presence of the enemies so that they would know that this king was victorious. Jesus is victorious. And in his presence, he brings us these blessings. He provides for us and gives us what we need. David goes on in verse 6 to speak about that goodness and mercy, that goodness and loving kindness that will follow me all the days of my life. Now that word follow is a very weak word. When we think about follow, children, you might be thinking about playing that game Follow the Leader, where one person at the front is doing certain things and you follow them. And yet here it is God's goodness and loving kindness that is following David, following the believer. And the word here is actually pursue. Throughout this word, the Bible, the word is often used for those enemies when they are pursuing the Israelites to attack them and kill them. And now here, the psalmist David turns it around to be a good thing because the goodness and loving kindness of God pursues us wherever we go. Like the lost sheep whom Jesus goes out and finds and carries back and brings into the fold. One commentator describes them as almost border collies that round up the sheep, pursuing them and bringing them back into the fold. This is a comforting picture that's clear. For our shepherd leads us and guides us and pursues us with his goodness and loving kindness throughout our entire lives. There is no place that we go where God will not be with us. And this leads us to this final place. As I've also been noting along the way, you can see a certain geography of the psalm, where there are those pleasant green pastures where it seems the shepherd is going through the day-to-day life of feeding the sheep, of giving them what they stand in need of, but then bringing them through the shadow of death in those valleys and dark places to a table and then into the house of the Lord. See, this is our surety, our guarantee, that God will achieve what he has set out to do. As our good shepherd, he will bring us into the house of the Lord forever. For that good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, and he will accomplish his salvation for us. Beloved people of God, this is the picture of our shepherd. He is a seeking shepherd who finds his lost sheep no matter where they go and brings them into the fold. He is a good shepherd who protects his sheep from the enemies. He is the great shepherd of the sheep who through his death and resurrection equips us with every good thing to do his will that we might walk in those paths of righteousness for his name. Sake. We have a great, good, and chief shepherd. And let us trust in him and proclaim him to be my shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. God, you are our great and good shepherd. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness, for your loving kindness that pursues us and follows us all the days of our lives, that you will not let temptation or the attacks of the devil nor any enemy prevent us from being in your presence, for you cause us to rest in you. You give us all that we stand in need of, and lead us and guide us in those paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We give thanks to you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who is not only that lamb that takes away the sin of the world, but is that good shepherd in whom we will dwell in his house forever. And so, Lord, would you help us to trust in you that we can say, I will fear no evil. I shall not want. These things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.